Milwaukee Free Thinkers Radio. Think free.
Hey guys, this is Drew. How you guys doing? You can't answer back. That's right. This is a one-way communication. Well, if you saw today's title, you will see that this podcast is of the devil. So be warned. You might end up knowing someone that, because they listened to this podcast, they killed themselves. Yeah, this podcast could cause a suicide, apparently, because it's of the devil. Well, what do I mean by that? Okay, growing up as a kid in the evangelical church, a lot of things were of the devil. Literally, the Dark One, Satan himself, came down, and he had a lot of things going here on Earth. He apparently backed a lot of secular music, a lot of board games, a lot of card games, pretty much everything that wasn't church. I can tell you from my own experience. Well, here's an experience I had growing up. I couldn't have been more than 12 or 13, because I was sleeping over, and probably even younger than that, maybe 11. I was sleeping over at my friend Matt's house, and I think my parents were out of town or some sort of context like that. I was staying with Matt and his family. And I started off by going over, and Matt and his dad, they were playing this game called Magic the Gathering. And it seemed like a pretty harmless, kind of nerdy card game to be playing. You know, you had your deck of cards, and you got, like, these mana cards, which were, like, your fuel to summon different types of creatures to then attack the other person with. And, I mean, when you really think about it compared to, like, Risk, not really that weird, but the whole summoning and using magic, That was definitely of the devil. Well, I didn't know this yet, and, you know, the next morning, Matt's dad, who, you know, bonded with his son over playing these games, he took us to the hobby store, and I bought a deck of cards as well. We came back, and we played Magic the Gathering all morning. And it was, you know, kind of a fun time. Like, their whole family got into it, you know, we were learning the game together. It was kind of cool. You had, you know, white, black, green, blue, and I think red were the different colors of the cards, and they all did different things. White was like protection magic, where black was more like damage, and blue was like water creatures, and green was like forest creatures. There were fairies and gnomes and heroes and monsters, and basically the point of the game was to knock the other person down to zero life points. Apparently my computer just froze. I don't know if that affected the recording. I guess we'll find out. But basically, you know, it was this game. It was a fantasy game. And you know what? We had a great time playing it. So then I went home. And my parents were like, hey, you know, we're back. How was your time at Matt's? And I was like, oh, it was cool. We got to play this new game. Matt's dad, you know, was involved. And we were all hanging out, and they took me to the store, and I bought a deck, too, and I was kind of excited. I was a kid. You know, we just got done playing a game. It seemed pretty fun. And my parents took a look at the cards, and they saw a dragon, and they saw magic spells, and mana was basically, it looked like land. It's hard to explain, but I mean, the game was pretty popular back when I was a kid, like early 90s. They took one look at the deck, and they were like, this is actually Satan, Drew. This is real. This is real dark magic, and, in some ways, you were worshiping Satan this morning. Yeah. Yeah. The Dark Lord, you know, Prince of All Evil, author of everything wrong in the world, the snake in the garden, the guy that, you know, tempted Jesus, had somehow gotten into a deck of cards that I had purchased for $7. And he was starting to take over my life. So, of course, we had to burn the cards. And, you know, as a kid, when your parents are literally looking you in the face and telling you that the greatest ancient evil in all of history, God's nemesis, his enemy, has entered your life and your mind through a card game that you thought was pretty innocent. As a 12-year-old, that's a lot to deal with. I don't know if I'm really doing it justice, but I was terrified. I was like, no way. So we prayed, we burnt the cards, and of course, you know, being 12, you know, I run into Matt, like, the next day, and he's like, hey, man, you want to come over? We're gonna do another magic tournament, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, no, Matt, that's Satan. That's the devil. The devil.
The devil.
That's kind of what evangelical kids have to deal with growing up. It stemmed further than just Magic the Gathering. During a raffle that year at school, it was one of those things where, you know, I think it was like a school fundraiser event. You buy a bunch of raffle tickets and then, you know, you win something. I had won the game HeroQuest. It was just a board game. And we got it and we brought it home and my mom was looking at it and she was like, well, it's a good thing, you know, it's kind of God working through you, Drew. Because you learned earlier that, you know, Magic the Gathering was Satan, you know, trying to enter into kids' minds. And that's why God let you win this game, so that we could burn this. And, you know, I bought it. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I can't say that I really remained friends with Matt for much longer, because I think his parents were kind of like, hey, Matt, you know, Drew's a nice kid, but his parents, whew, they are doing a number on him. So, anyway, my parents had led me to believe that Matt and his family were, you know, minions of the Dark One, and clearly out to brainwash and take over people's lives. And actually, my parents, like, they brought home some tracks, those old black and white tracks, and it would have kids playing Dungeons and Dragons on them. And I want to know, does anyone know for a fact, did anyone ever kill themselves over Dungeons and Dragons? And I mean, was it if there was a case of someone committing suicide because their character died or something like that, was there ever an actual documented case of that? And then two, like, were there other things going on? Was there divorce in the family? Was there depression? Was the kid on drugs? I would like to really put an end to that myth if possible. But, so that's what evangelical kids grow up with. And I mean, it's not just Magic the Gathering. It's not just fantasy role-playing games. It came down to occasionally as a kid growing up, and this went into my teenage years, my parents and or my brother who grew up to become the pastor would sweep through my CDs or my tapes, depending on what year we're talking. And they'd pick out ones. I can't tell you how many times I had to rebuy Nirvana's Muddy Banks of the Wiska CD. It got thrown out probably 3 or 4 times as I was growing up. Actually, I can remember one of the times it was actually a big bonfire at the church. We were supposed to bring in things that were keeping us from Christ and just burn them. And yeah, I lost a lot of CDs to that. It was kind of really strange. And, like, it was kind of funny because, like, my sister had a boyfriend named John around this time, and he was going through a period where he was trying to get rid of all of his secular music, all of his worldly, you know, secular music, because clearly the devil was trying to get into his brain via people like Soundgarden. That's actually how I got my first Soundgarden CD. John gave it to me because he was on his way to burn it all at the church. This is legitimate. If you are not raised in the Pentecostal faith, or, like, you grew up Lutheran, you just stopped going, you know, because nothing was really going on, or you were Catholic, but you didn't really buy it. Legitimately, in the evangelical church, this is what goes on. That's why I call the Assemblies of God just a cult. Because it's like a big corporate cult, of course. It's well thought out, it's well planned. I think the people that started the Assemblies of God had to be salespeople, because the church just revolves around different sales tools, and just, like, you just look at it and you're like, huh, this seems like a pep rally that you would give a used car salesman. Like, we gotta get them fired up, we gotta send them out there, we gotta make them believe. Or a vacuum cleaner salesman, perhaps. So, that was, let's see, Magic the Gathering, definitely of the devil. Nirvana's Muddy Banks of the Wiska, that was of the devil. For whatever reason, Boys to Men were not of the devil. That was kind of weird, I thought. Also, Bryan Adams was not of the devil, because that song, Everything I Do It For You. You remember that? There's nowhere unless you're there. And no other... I forget. No, I could sing this. I could definitely sing this song. I can't... Oh, how did it... You know it's true. Everything I do. Oh. I do it for you. Yeah, that song from... was that Prince of Thieves? My sister really liked that movie. Actually, we rented it from Blockbuster, and we watched it twice in a row some Friday night with the family. So that was kind of cool. But so, yeah, Bryan Adams was okay, but pretty much everything else of the devil. What else was of the devil? Oh, yeah, we went to a used bookstore once, and it was kind of weird. Like, I can't remember who I was at the used bookstore with, but, like, I actually went into the religion section. And I was just like, well, I'll check out some books. And there was a book called, like, The Dark Powers of the New Age. And I was like, ooh, let's check that out. And I was thought, you know, I thought, legitimate, I'm in the religion section, so this must be all Christian stuff. Well, I found out very quickly that there were other religions, and definitely New Age things. That was a weird cult of the devil that was trying to bring about the end of the world, but they were going to fight God and win or something like that. So we had to burn that book. Yeah, a lot of my childhood was like that. I also collected comics back then. I collected Superman comics. It was around the time where Superman died in the 90s. There was one time I remember we were driving in the car, and my mom was talking to me about how things could become an idol in your life. And that was a big theme growing up. You don't want to have any idols before your God. And, like, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Have no graven images before me, but, like, they expand on that, and they make it mean something that it didn't originally mean. I think it meant Israelites should not build, like, golden calves, or, like, have poles to the god Baal in their backyard, or something like that. But somehow this related to, like, you shouldn't watch TV that much, because TV could become an idol. Basically, anything you did in your life that you were passionate about, that you were more passionate about than going to church, that was an idol. So you could have no idols before God. So going to church and praying and, you know, having a relationship with Christ, that was supposed to be 100%. Anything else you were more passionate about or equally passionate about or even just pretty passionate about, and it might be wasting time that you could be giving to God. You can't remind me. I'll just say it later. But anything that you was sucking up your time that was taking away from time that you could be spending in prayer or at church, that was an idol. So we're driving in the car, and I believe we were even coming back from the comic book store, and I had just spent, like, $5 in the 10-cent bins buying back issues, and somehow we were talking about idols, and my mom tried to insinuate that Superman comics could be, you know, of the devil if I let them become an idol. And now thank God I didn't listen to her on that. Because I still read Superman comics. I really like them. And I'm glad that I had some sense back then. Not a lot. No, I was very dumb. Was I dumb? I mean, everyone in my life kind of said the same thing. So, when you grow up indoctrinated into that kind of a belief system, you kind of go along with it, because everyone is saying that. Now, yeah, I was going to public school, but they always told us, you know, the world is fallen. You know, you're going to run into a lot of people that don't understand you. You're an alien just passing through this world. You know, you're a stranger. You're not of this world. You're in this world. And, you know, okay, fair enough. So, yeah. So comics were almost of the devil, but I made her take that back. And I actually explained that Superman has a lot of parallels with Jesus, Mom. You know, Jor-El gave his only begotten son that, you know, he could come to Earth and be the savior of mankind. He even has a giant S on his chest. And at that point, he had died and resurrected, so I could draw a lot of parallels to Jesus. So it was kind of like Narnia, which was kind of weird. Lord of the Rings of the devil, but like the Narnia fiction, that was 100% just fine. It very strange. What else was of the devil? When I was older, Beavis and Butthead were definitely of the devil. Transformers, the old cartoon, that was almost of the devil, but turns out because they were machines, and I don't think my parents ever understood that they came from Cybertron and that they were from another planet and that they didn't know Jesus. They were okay because they were machines. However, I wasn't allowed to watch Dungeons & Dragons, the cartoon, Conan the Adventurer. A lot of cartoons were, I don't know, that has magic in it. So that's of the devil. And I don't know what they were really trying to protect me of. Like, it's not like they couldn't have just told me, hey, magic's not real. But they didn't believe that magic wasn't real. They actually believed that magic was real. So anytime you saw magic depicted anywhere, that was of the devil. It's kind of strange. My dad liked to watch, like, the really old... Yeah, okay, yeah, that's another thing. Okay, old monster movies, like, from the 70s or older, those were fine, because those were fairy tales. But, like, any new horror movie or science fiction stuff that came out, that was of the devil. Oddly enough, Star Trek was not of the devil, because that was of the future. However, you know, it would be kind of hard for Christ to come... Did they ever have an episode of Star Trek where Christ came back to Earth and no one was really there anymore? And he had to go, like, round up the USS Enterprise? That... I would actually... I would love to see a fan fiction of that. Like, Christ comes back to Earth, but, like, they have to explain to him that most of the population lives on other planets now. Okay, so we're going back to this of the devil. I don't know what they really, looking back, I don't know what they meant. I mean, as a kid at that time, I kind of think that, like, there were different ways of being of the devil and how demons could enter your life. Like, it would be kind of a suggestion, like, they'd enter your heart or they'd enter your mind, and it would just kind of affect the way that you view things, affect the way that you would act, maybe cause you to be more rebellious. We went to church camp. It's called Spencer Lake Bible Camp. It's kind of in central Wisconsin. And I actually remember, I'll do a podcast soon about what Bible camp was like. But I remember being there and seeing a kid from our church, Mike, be possessed by a demon and then have it cast out. And I always thought it was kind of funny, because I was like, you know, Mike really liked getting attention. That was kind of his thing. He didn't seem to be, like, shooting fire from his hands or eyes or anything like that. He was just kind of making a weird noise and rolling around on the carpet, which is pretty par for the course for Mike, if you really know him. I don't know that he was possessed of the devil. And it always kind of seemed funny to me, like, Lucifer's supposed to be the king of demons, basically. Like, one-third of all of the angels in heaven rebelled underneath Lucifer's banners against God. And then they invaded Earth so that they could possess farm girls and nerds playing Dungeons and Dragons. It's enough to just make you scream, "What the fuck?! Are you talking about? Seriously?" Because that's his grand plan. He was sitting in heaven, Lucifer. The reason why secular music was of the devil is because he was the angel of music. Which was weird because the Phantom of the Opera used the angel of music theme song. Anyway, whatever. So Satan was in heaven, and he was basically like the head of the choir in heaven. And that's why he was so into secular music down here on Earth. But basically, Lucifer's sitting there in heaven, in paradise. He is the most powerful angel of all of the archangels. Like, there was Gabriel, there was Michael, and then there was Lucifer, and apparently Lucifer, most powerful. So he was the highest among the angels. Next step up from Lucifer would be God. So apparently, Lucifer, sitting in paradise, gets bored or something, and decides to rebel against God because he wants people to call him God. Which, he's already more powerful than everything else in creation, and he knows it, so why would he really care about the label? Also, he's in paradise. Why is he bored like this? Or what unrest causes him to rebel? Anyway, so he rebels. And somehow he convinces one-third of all the angels that are hanging out in paradise, yeah, we should totally rebel against God with you. And then they get cast out of heaven. Except for, like, when you read the Bible, they're still in heaven all the way up through Job, possibly till the end of time. I'm not really sure when Satan gets kicked out of heaven. I think he gets kicked out of heaven in Revelations, actually. So, like, the angelic rebellion is happening at the same time that the human race is going on. I don't know. So, I never understood what the devil would do. And, honestly, in church, like, it wasn't just that Mike kid at the Bible camp. Like, occasionally someone would have a freak out moment during one of our prayer services, and they would start casting out a demon. And I know people now. I know people are greatly disturbed. There are people with mental problems. There are people that just like attention. And it seemed like the only thing that these demon-possessed people ever did was make really weird noises. That's it. And not really weird, like speaking in Latin backwards or growling in a way that the human voice couldn't just, you know, screaming. Just general screaming or laughter. And then they would be cast out, and then there would be prayer. Oh, the real scary thing is that if a demon was cast out of you, if you cast off a spirit, and they ever re-entered your life, they would come back 7 times more powerful. Which was kind of weird, because there was a point where I was backsliding a little bit, and I played a game of Magic the Gathering, and I was terrified because I thought the demon was going to come back into me and it would be 7 times more powerful. Huh. This ever happened to you? Did you grow up in an evangelical church? What things did you have to give up for God? So, while this is all going on, I'm still trying to go to school, like, learn about science, and learn about spelling, and learn about math, and then, when I get home, I also have to deal with the fact that the demonic forces that are rebelling from heaven are trying to enter my body. I'm a 12-year-old kid. And that is really... Wow. 24 minutes. I hope it was worth it. I am going to put up an email address pretty soon. I'm going to work on getting some sort of opening music. I'm going to work on all of that. I just wanted to do another cast because I want to get in the habit of doing these casts. And I bought the microphone yesterday, so it seems pretty fun to have it. I hope this one was fun. And if you like us on Facebook, it is Milwaukee Free Thinkers. Milwaukee, one word. Free Thinkers, one word. And send me a message, man. I want to hear from you. Anyway, I wish you all well. Go crack a beer and have a great night, folks.
Milwaukee Freethinkers Radio. Think free.